Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to an Adept English podcast designed to help you learn to speak English fluently. I love the English language, and I help hundreds of thousands of listeners speak English every month. Listen to this podcast today and see how your fluency improves. Hi, and welcome to this podcast from Adept English. Life is like a box of chocolates, said Tom Hanks's character in the film Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. And so it is with our Adept English podcasts. Often I don't know what you're going to get until I start writing it. If you like our podcasts, then don't forget that you can buy them in packs of 50 podcasts for a small fee on our website at adeptenglish.com. Just imagine 50 Adept English podcasts on such a variety of topics as we cover, all aimed at helping you with English speaking. That'll help improve your English speaking skills. Another saying is, variety is the spice of life. So let's be spicy today and go with a bit of geography, history and time zones. This is international in flavour, so hopefully interesting for all of us. And the purpose is, of course, to give you practice with a certain set of words, a certain vocabulary, and it will give you practice with country names, which may be different in English from what they are in your language. Here goes. Well, we're midway through October now, and we're heading towards the point when the clocks change. That's in the UK anyway. We will move on the 24th, 25th of October back to GMT or Greenwich Mean Time. We've been an hour ahead on BST or British Summer Time since last March, and moving the clocks back to GMT will make it dark earlier in the evening and light earlier in the morning. So this is known as daylight saving time in the US and around the world, and many countries do something similar to try to maximise the number of hours of usable daylight. That also means you make savings by not having your electric lights on for as long. My brain used to have trouble with the clock change, but now I do remember it, as the October time change is the nice one, where you get an extra hour, possibly even an extra hour in bed. And the one in March is less pleasant, where you're robbed of an hour. So daylight saving time happens in North America and Europe, but not so much in the Southern Hemisphere. And it wouldn't make sense at the equator. But in the Southern Hemisphere, only Paraguay, Chile, parts of Australia and New Zealand do it. Russia, China, Africa and most of South America don't do daylight savings. So international time zones were standardised back in 1884 because different times across the world were causing problems. For example, long-distance rail travel in the United States had started to happen across the states, and it became complicated because of all the different local time zones. People were confused by timetables because it was a different time in every city. Every town set its clocks to noon when the sun was at its highest, and this meant over 300 time zones in the United States alone. No wonder it was confusing. And as shipping became more international, the need for internationally understood time zones became a necessity. So a conference, that means a big meeting, a conference was organised in 1884. The International Meridian Conference met to determine official time zones around the world and to standardise time. To standardise means to make something standard so that it's measured, calibrated in an agreed way. Like the whole system of weights and measures, kilograms, pounds, ounces, metres and feet, They're all the same wherever you are in the world. They're standardised. So it was decided that the Greenwich Meridian would be used to standardise time. If you're ever in London and you get chance, that's if we're ever able to be tourists again, of course, it's interesting to visit the Greenwich Observatory in East London. You can get there on the tube. Notice the pronunciation there, Greenwich, although it's spelled G-R-E-E-N-W-I-C-H. And an observatory, O-B-S-E-R-V-A-T-O-R-Y, is a place where you can observe. You can look at stars and planets. And at the Greenwich Observatory, you can actually see the Greenwich Meridian, which is where Greenwich Mean Time and the System for International Time Zones originates. So if you look at a world map with time zones marked, you can see vertical stripes, which contain countries within the same time zone. Vertical, V-E-R-T-I-C-A-L, means up and down. So on the world map, the vertical or up and down lines are the lines of longitude. So if you take the UK in the winter months, we're GMT or Greenwich Mean Time. And that's the same for countries at the same longitude. So Portugal, the Canary Islands, and countries in Western Africa like Mali, Senegal, Guinea, Ivory Coast. So the Greenwich Meridian in East London was chosen as the new standard time, GMT, Greenwich Mean Time. So all time zones are expressed as GMT plus or minus a number of hours. So for example, Paris is GMT plus one, and New York would be GMT minus five. So the idea was that these vertical stripes, these lines of longitude, these meridians would be used to standardise time across the world. And on the whole, this works. Even when daylight savings were introduced, so a different time for summer and for winter, time zones still remained standard and therefore understandable in most of the world. And the movement of clocks for daylight savings in most areas happens around the same time of year. So you might be familiar with different time zones because of your work. I know people in the UK, for example, who work a late day because they have to fit in with their US-based clients. So they may take the morning off and work later in the evening to fit with the different time zone. But despite the standardisation of time zones, some countries make their own decisions about time. For example, China is so vast that it covers five time zones, and yet it keeps the same time across all of its territory. This means that there's a difference of up to 4 hours between different parts of China for when the sun rises or the sun sets. It also means that the biggest time change when you cross a border is 3.5 hours if you go from China to Afghanistan. Greenland takes the same approach, more or less. Apart from a couple of tiny parts, Greenland keeps the same time across its whole territory. Even though it's so big, it spans five time zones. And Iceland, though its longitude suggests GMT minus 1 hour, prefers to have GMT as its time zone, so it's the same as the UK. I'm sure that's not the reason, but what I mean is it is the same as the UK. Most large countries or territories which cover several lines of longitude, several meridians, have different time zones. So if you're in Russia, for instance, you'll be in one of 11 time zones. And there are plenty of places in the world where geographical borders influence the time zone rather than it sticking exactly to the lines of longitude. For example, Argentina shares the time zone of eastern Brazil, that's GMT minus 3, even though longitude-wise it would sit naturally with Paraguay, Bolivia and Venezuela at GMT minus 4. And parts of Argentina, in terms of longitude, are far enough west to sit with New York time, GMT minus 5, along with parts of Canada, Peru and Colombia. But even Chile, which is further west than Argentina, is only GMT minus 4. So there are some curious wiggles in the time zones. In the UK, we like a bit of nonconformism, someone who doesn't go with the norm. And there are some time zones that are definitely non-standard. What about Australia? Well, Sydney and Melbourne go with GMT plus 10, according to their location. But then the middle of Australia, so Alice Springs and the rest, is GMT plus 9.5. And Western Australia is GMT plus 8, plus 8 hours, as you'd expect, apart from a tiny area in the south, which is GMT plus 8.75 hours. Strange. Other countries who don't like to conform, India is at GMT plus 5.5, Burma is GMT plus 6.5, Afghanistan is GMT plus 4.5, Iran, GMT plus 3.5, and Nepal, GMT plus 5.75 hours. So I guess international time is not that standard then. And what about the bit at the edge of most time zone maps, where GMT minus 12 and GMT plus 12 meet? This is called the international dateline, where it's so far around the world, it's kind of the next day. Well, I have trouble dealing with daylight savings timings in the UK, so this is confusing for me. Take, for example, Samoa, a country in just this area. In 2011, Samoa decided it had closer ties with Australia and New Zealand, so it agreed to lose a whole day in order to bring its time more in line with those countries. So it jumped across the international dateline and moved from GMT minus 11 to GMT plus 13. This left American Samoa, which is only 30 miles away, a full day behind. The same time on the clock, but a different day. I don't know about you, but that's more than my little brain can cope with, so I'm going to stop there. There we have it, standard international time zones, and a bit about how they're not always very standard. Hopefully some useful vocabulary there for you, some practice with the names in English-speaking parts of the world for different countries, and some interesting ideas. Simple secrets to instantly improve your English? Well, listen to Adept English, of course. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. That's the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You can listen to hundreds more podcasts and learn more about our approach to language learning with our free English language course available at adeptenglish.com. If you're serious about your English language learning and you want to go further and progress faster, we have English courses ready to download at adeptenglish.com today.